Let's just ask God to teach us tonight. Father, you are a good and gracious God, and we are so grateful for all you've already provided us tonight in the fellowship and the food, and even in these beautiful quilts, Lord, we see the way that you gift people and use that even to encourage each other. Though I couldn't use a stitch, Lord, I certainly love quilts. We thank you for the word that you've given us. We thank you for the way that you use it in our lives. And I pray tonight that each one of us, that you would be our teacher, that though these ladies see me, that they would hear from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am loving the quilts. About, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, I got really sick. I had one of those little flus that just lasts a couple days. And the whole first day and the first night, I just camped as close as I could to my bathroom and just, you know, was sick. The second day, though, I was just miserable. Just no energy, nothing. And so I just kind of laid around all day under a quilt. And it's funny because quilts are what I go to when I want comfort. When that's what I need, I just want to wrap myself up. I brought my quilt with me because the name of my talk tonight is A Quilt of Holiness. This is a holy quilt. I want to talk to you about a quilt of holiness. Doesn't get quite the same reception as my holy quilt. It's a well-loved, well-used quilt, as you can see. But a quilt of holiness also promises to be just as warm and comforting as this quilt does when it's put together right. Obviously, if you're going to have anything with holiness, Christ has to be, I think, the foundation. The backing is what I would like to relate him to in this, is that without him, we're not capable of anything holy. That's without the E in holy. The Bible says that without Jesus, all our good works are like filthy rags, that there's really nothing we can do that will please him unless Christ is the foundation of our lives. It might be really seem like an obvious thing for me to say, but it really is important that we understand that the gospel is a part of our everyday lives. We tend to think as Christians that once we know the Lord and we're walking with him, that the gospel's kind of for unbelievers and it's something we'll tell to other people. But think about when you've had a bad day, when it's just an awful day, things just haven't gone right. Don't we somehow often feel like God is punishing us for something? But don't bad days just happen? Doesn't stuff just, people do stuff that drives you crazy? We often are the ones who do things that drive ourselves crazy. We get angry, or we speak too quickly, or we stay in a conversation we know we should have been out of 10 minutes ago. We're lazy, or we're critical, or we can probably each one name our own list of those little things we fall into that just kind of we beat ourselves up about, and we think that we're just making the Lord so angry. That stuff does happen every day. Some of the hardest things about teaching the Word of God is that I will teach you today and tomorrow I'll go, oh, I just taught about that last night, and I will fall into that sin. Well, many of us feel like something is wrong between God and ourselves when we have that kind of day, but didn't Jesus die for those days too? Aren't every single one of our sins covered by his? Do we need to confess that sin? Yes. But is it covered? Yes. He's a forgiving God. We tend to think that he's this God up there waiting for us to mess up so he can punish us. And that's just not the case when we're his people. So when we start to design this quilt of holiness, we want to choose the cross. We want to choose Christ as the backing for our quilt so that we'll have a solid foundation. We need Christ and his shed blood backing it. The rest of the design is going to be off if we don't start there. What then should the rest of the quilt be like? I gave you a handout because I want to just work through these verses in Colossians 3. And I said to Lisa, if I was coming to a ladies' tea or dinner, I probably wouldn't bring my Bible with me. So you're welcome to open a Bible if you have it, or just follow along. I really think Paul has given us a great design here for what a quilt of holiness should look like. We're going to start in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This just confirms to me that Christ should be the center of everything we do, the foundation. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He's interceding for you and for me all the time. If we do that, if he is our foundation, then we can do verse 2. Set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. When you begin to plan a quilt, you have to start with the big picture. You can walk through aisle after aisle and store after store of fabrics, but if you don't have some idea in your mind of what room this is going to go in, what color scheme, is it for a child, is it for a woman, is it for a man, those things are all going to determine some of what we do and how we design a quilt. They require different designs, but they're all going to have that basic structure. Doesn't God have a different life designed for each one of us? Yet the overall structure of our lives is to look the same. His word gives us his intended design for us as his children. Think about this. You wouldn't go to Lowe's looking for your fabric. So why do we go to Oprah and to secular books looking for a design as children of God for our lives? Look at verses 5-9. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. If we're to put off the old self, those desires, those habits that we walked in before Christ was the center of our lives, they've got to go. They have to go. I want us to think about that as we would the fabric we use for the appliques for a quilt. If we want the design, if we want this square to be perfect, if we want those flowers to be perfect, what we cut away is just as important as what we leave, as what we cut out. Sadly, I've learned this the hard way. I kind of am like Lisa. I cannot cut or sew a straight line. I very rarely sew anything because of that. Because when it's all put together, it looks awful because there are just things out of line and off center and off kilter. So that's exactly how it is with the Christian life. If we are not centered on Christ, if we fail to cut some things out and leave on the wrong things, then it's not going to fit together in a way that pleases the Lord. When I look at those verses 5-9, what I am to take off in order to live the Christian life, to be holy, when I look at that list, I have to do it all. I can't take off the slander and the malice and leave on the language or the impurity or the immorality. If we do that, we certainly are not pleasing the Lord. We may be growing, actually, for some of us. Certainly when I was first saved, I had a lot of those things. And God, in his graciousness, whittles away at those things, doesn't he? Gives you what you can handle and takes away some and then works a little more and works a little more. Doesn't convict you of everything at once because he's a gracious heavenly Father. But more and more and more we grow until that life is just all fitting together and we're able to serve him willingly and wholeheartedly. I think it's very interesting that after going through a list of things, Paul takes a whole separate sentence and tells us not to lie. We do lie. I think all of us lie. Just as most quilters could find a way to cover up some flaw in their quilt, if we think we have flaws, if we want people to think something of us that isn't obvious when meeting us, then we just tell these little stories that make people think that we're something we're not. If we really think about this, it's a sort of covetousness or an idolatry, because we want something to be true about us so much that we're willing to grieve God to have other people believe that. That's idolatry. It's putting something above God. Well, as we cut the fabric into the designs that are going to be sewn onto the fabric, we have to be careful to cut away all that needs to go and leave what's necessary. But you know, that's not enough either, is it? It has to be sewn on so that the design is revealed. It's what I'm afraid that I wouldn't be able to do if, you know, if my lines were all wrong. This wouldn't look like a pretty flower. It would look like someone had done it who didn't know what they were doing, and that would have been the case if it had been me doing it. When my daughter made the quilt that's right outside here, and when she was making, I went there and she had all those little squares of fabric all over a room. And I'm thinking, what on earth? I can't picture that in my mind. She sewed a little bit together and I could start to see the whole design. I can envision the finished product only after we've had a start. And I think Paul goes on in Colossians to give us this bigger view of the finished product. We have some putting on to do. Look at verses 12 and 13. It says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved." Let me just stop there for 1 minute. Do you hear that? When we are God's children, when we have received Christ as our Savior, we're already holy and beloved in his eyes. That's what he says, as God's chosen, holy and beloved. He's going to go on and tell us what we need to put on to really look that way and to be that way. But from God's view, we are that way. So put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I find it very interesting when I speak and when I taught, very often people would say to me, "I was so convicted today. You were pointing right at me," which of course I wasn't. I always tell them that's the Holy Spirit. But rarely, I can't ever remember a time when somebody came up to me and said, "Beth, can you help me understand how to be humble? Can you tell me how to put on compassion or kindness?" We seem to understand the take off the sin, but we're really not clear on the put on, the compassion, the kindness, the humility, the meekness, the forgiveness. We seem to think that if we take off the sin, these godly characteristics are just going to automatically be infused into us. We have to put them on. It's no more likely that that's going to happen than that my daughter's going to cut out all those squares one day and they're all going to be, you know, put together in a beautiful design when she wakes up the next day. Just doesn't happen. It takes desire. It takes diligence. It takes hard work. We've got to want it. If we want to see the pattern of holiness unveiled in our lives, we have to cooperate with God. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to put them on. And then he does the work of growing us in holiness. How often do you suppose that God has prompted any one of us to show compassion or to show kindness, and we've missed that opportunity? Think about, have you ever been running errands, or maybe you've been in the hallway at school, or you've been at work, and you see somebody, maybe even from church, that you haven't seen there in a few weeks, and you've heard that either they've been sick or someone close to them is sick or has died, and you see them and you think, "I really ought to go talk to them." And then you think, "What would I say? And, you know, I don't have time for this. I really need to get out of here." And sometimes we even cross the street or go another route, don't we, to avoid that person? Did we miss an opportunity to show compassion, to show kindness, even humility? Isn't it saying my time is more valuable than your pain? We miss those opportunities. We walk away from them at times when God's Holy Spirit is prompting us to do the right thing. Do you think that there'd be a blessing if we obeyed that? If we just followed through on that prompting? My brother talks about people in his church. He calls them EGRs, extra grace required. And he talks about people avoiding those people, those people who have just something quirky in their personality that makes them a little harder to deal with. And so many of us tend to skirt those people when they need ministry as much as anybody. Well, these verses also tell us to put on forgiveness. If Christ remains as the foundation of our quilt, of our lives, then we should be reminded every day that he died for my sin. So if he died for my sin, shouldn't I be willing to forgive other people for their sin against me? Certainly, we have not suffered at the hands of another person as he did for us. This design, this whole thing that Paul is telling us of what to put on, is like a quilt, a very deliberate design. You don't sit down to make a quilt without having your fabric and some idea in front of you of what you want to do, and that's what Paul is giving us. I think even with somebody who's made a what we call at home a crazy quilt, when you really don't understand maybe what someone else has done, there's been something deliberate, some design that has gone into that. In order to put on any godly trait, we need to go back to the designer, capital D here, and to what his plan is for us. Think about the way that we take off and put on. And I was just thinking about small children, and not just small children, but up probably through elementary school, we do this thing of teaching them to say that they're sorry. You know, little Johnny hits little Susie, and we say, you get over here, and you tell her you're sorry, and he comes over and goes, sorry. And that's enough for us. We let him go. He said what he was supposed to say, and we go. But is that enough for God compared to these verses, if we look at these? Should we not also be teaching them the next step? That they should put on compassion? Could they not say, did I hurt you? I'm really sorry. Could they put on kindness? For me, that would be, let's go for ice cream, or, you know, think of what you would like that would be kind for you. Could they not put on humility? You know, I should never have done that. I should never have said that. Just the next step of what God wants to see, not just to take off the sin, but to put on that godly characteristic that helps us all to grow. I think we do this even as teens and adults. The sorry is what we want to be enough. It's really harder. It takes humility to take that next step, to be compassionate or kind or humble or meek or forgiving. Much like a quilt, we can take a lot of effort and we can try very hard to get things just perfect. So maybe we lose the slander, we lose the malice, and we put on the kindness and the compassion, but life happens. And tomorrow, we don't do it. Maybe we took off the slander, but we weren't kind or compassionate. The theme poem that you have says, there are going to be days that will be rosy and happy and bright. On those days, isn't it easy to be compassionate and kind? Gosh, we don't even talk about anybody or say anything mean because it's easy on those days. But what about the days when it says there will be dark and gray days when rainy weather comes? Many Christians think that shouldn't be for them. Hey, I'm a Christian now. None of that's going to happen to me. Everything's going to be happy and bright. But that's not true, is it? Was Jesus' life like that? No. He had rainy, gray days. Why would any of us living in a fallen, sinful world think that we're not going to hit those down days, those days when it's really hard for us to get things right? It seems as though we're just in a storm some days, and you have an argument with a friend, and you're barely standing back up after that, and bam, you come home and you're sick, or you feel awful, or you hear about somebody else's illness, and it just seems like you get knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. You stand up, you get knocked down again. Quilts get torn. Quilts wear out. That's what's happening to this one. You go back to the original design. What's it supposed to look like? On a gray, rainy day, we need to go back and say, what did it look like on that bright, sunny day, on the rosy day? What did we do? We put on compassion. We put on kindness. We put on humility. And we put them back on. We need to go to the designer again, capital D, in his kindness, in his compassion. He left us this word. It has the design that we need to see to cover not just the rosy, pretty, happy, sunny days, but the gray and dull days as well. We know what we need to go back to. We know what we need to take off. We know what we need to put on to do the repairs. We can take that knowledge and we can shove it in a drawer and think, I'll get to that later. Or we can just fix it. We can just adopt the new attitude, put on the compassion, put on the kindness, respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit when he says, go be kind, go be nice, go be humble. We feel those promptings and we often just refuse them. Most quilters would be ready to do the repairs for any quilt because they've got all of everything they need still in their home from their past projects. As Christians, are we ready? Do we know what God would have us do? Do you and I have a ready supply of God's word in our head and in our heart so that we do know what to do, what to take off, what to put on when things aren't looking so good? If we take off the sin but fail to put on the character traits that lead us to the holiness, to the godliness, then the job is only half done. If we want to do this to the glory of God, then Paul gives us one more instruction that we have to look at, and I believe every quilter, every sewer would recognize this and understand it. Quilts are almost always made with love and given with love. Look at verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So the binding for our lives needs to be love. We cannot be compassionate, kind, humble, meek, forgiving without love for God and for other people. We won't be able to take off anything, nothing that we've mentioned, if we don't love God first. He is our motivator. He is our enabler. He is the one we turn to for these things. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot put on or take off any of these qualities. This is a personal thing between us and the Lord. The design is general for every believer, but every believer needs to make this personal between them and Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to say, I see my sin of slander and malice and anger, of the impurity of all those things that he listed. I see those sins, and I'm sorry for those sins. I want to be the compassionate, the kind, the humble, the meek, the forgiving person that God wants. That requires repentance. We're to turn from our sin and turn to God. And when we do that, he gives us his Holy Spirit, and we're able to do these things to please him. God has this grand design for each one of our lives, and through the days, they're all going to look different. They're going to look different for every one of us here. But if he is the foundation, there are going to be some similarities. Everybody's quilt is going to be warm and cozy if we use the right, is it the batting that makes them warm and cozy? So we need that. We need that to surround us. We are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That requires taking off the sin and putting on the holiness, but only through that foundation of Jesus Christ as our Savior. So just as quilters are going to take off the fabric, trim the frayed seams, we seem to understand that taking off, but how do we put on these holy characteristics of Christ? First of all, we have to pray. We have to ask God for those. If we recognize that we don't have them, that in and of itself is a work of the Holy Spirit, that we can say, oh, you know, I wasn't very merciful there. I wasn't very kind there. Ask God. And then ask him to show us opportunities to practice them. And then be obedient. Don't walk away next time. Walk to the person that the Spirit has prompted us to speak to. The next time we hurt someone, we need to go beyond the apology to the act that will be more Christ-like. lots of times we don't even know if we've hurt someone. Did that person in the hallway or in the store or on our errands see us and see us skirt out? We don't even usually know that. But you can bet if they did, they're hurt by that. Our theme poem ends, "Trusting that when I have finished my block, the master may say, well done." What do you and I need to take off in order to hear the master say, well done? Listen to this list again. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. Think about what kind of time we're spending in front of the TV, in front of movies, in front of our computers. Anything of real value there? Anything that might be impure, evil? What kind of books are we reading? What are we asking for? Would someone see greed or hear greed in what we're asking for? How about balances on our credit cards? Would somebody be able to look at that and see greed or see evil desires, coveting? I think the more difficult list for most of us is the anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. What would our family say if we were to ask them, so how are they doing on that? She angry? Slandering anyone? Filthy language? How about friends? What are friends hearing come out of our mouths? What kind of books are they seeing us read? Does what we say, do the words we use, honor God and our parents? What would others right here in the church say if you were to say, let me know if you see something in me that I need to change? And what do we need to put on to hear those words, well done, from the master? Are we being compassionate, kind, humble, meek, patient, for me, forgiving? If we ask the same people, family, friends, teachers, schoolmates, bosses, what would they say? Would they say you're compassionate, kind, humble, forgiving? A quilt of holiness promises a life of peace and joy living in the love of God. And that verse 14 said it would be bound in perfect harmony. But it requires effort, just like making that quilt. God gives us a design. He even gives us in his grace the Holy Spirit to enable us to follow the pattern that he's given us. Will you pray? Will you ask God to help you take off those sins that don't please him and to put on those traits, his holiness, so that you can experience and I can experience the peace of Christ that rules in our hearts? Quilts are very cozy and I love them when I'm sick, but it is the peace of God that I want to be wrapped up in all the time. Let's pray. Oh, Father, for your peace, what a gift you offer us. Help each one of us, Lord, to see those things that we do need to take off and those things that we need to put on that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, help us to recognize our sin, to repent of it, to turn from it, and to turn to you, that we might recognize you as our Savior, that we might be with you in heaven for eternity. There, Lord, we will know the peace of God. We pray that you would just surround each one of us with that love, with that perfect harmony that you promise us when we live for you in holiness and godliness. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for the way that you have fed us both spiritually and physically. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have 2 more minutes? Okay. I want to talk to the under 18s. How many are there? Okay. Here's the question for you ladies. Do you live in a house where your mom sews, all of you? You don't. Do you? Okay, do you live in a house where your mom sews? No. I'm stunned. Anybody else, do you live in a house where your mom sews? You're not answering me. I'm talking to you. Mom, do you sew? No. Oh, my goodness. I got to tell you what I was going to do here. How about you? I didn't see you there. Does your mom sew? Do you have to go to the fabric store with her? Oh, when I was young, I am the fifth of six children, the fourth of four daughters. They all sewed but me. I did not get that gene. I can remember, I swear, it seems like hours at Joanne Fabric and Daneman's. So I was just going to feel for you guys, but none of you have to do that. I'm stunned by that. Well, bless your hearts, Mom, for not dragging those kids through that. Okay, thank you very much, ladies. Thank you. I'm stunned.
Sunday for a service, come again for a banquet like tonight. We love to get to know new friends, so we want to welcome you especially. We do want to say thank you to the men who are doing a wonderful service for us in the kitchen. So if you see them on the way out over in the kitchen, just say a word of thanks to them if you so desire, or maybe tomorrow at church. We also want to thank those who have special effort to demonstrate. Bonnie Cruz, I believe, was part of that. And those of you who have made a special effort to bring your wraps and your quilts, weren't the quilts just beautiful? Mm. It was really neat to see the different designs. And I was thinking about how, as you see a different design and a different touch on each quilt, how God has created us with his own touch, with a little bit of a twist, a little different for each of us, which is a way that he can display his glory. So that's kind of neat to see all those quilts. So if I've missed any thanks for anybody, I'm sorry, but we're thankful for you. How's that? If you have anything over in the, my son calls it the red carpet sanctuary. What is it called? Fellowship Hall. Okay. If you have anything over in Fellowship Hall, don't forget to go retrieve that. And of course, your quilts, don't forget those. The men and some of the ladies will be dismantling those. I don't think I missed anything else. Did I miss anything else, Sue? Or Linda? Linda's in the balance up. Okay. So can we just end with a prayer? Okay, the ladies pray with me. Lord, we want to give you thanks, and we want to lift your name high tonight because of who you are, that you're such an awesome God. Thank you, Lord, for all that has happened here tonight. Thank you for your body of believers, which is represented here. Thank you, Lord, for new friends that we could meet and get to know tonight. We pray, Lord, that the words that were spoken, both informally around the tables in our conversations, and also the words that were spoken from your servant Ben tonight, from your word, Lord, we pray that that might edify and encourage and challenge and convict us. We pray that you would do your work in us, know what each one of us needs. And Lord, we just want to raise you up high tonight.